Oh no, I'm in trouble if he's going to talk about being moody, right? Christian moodiness. You think that's an issue? Anybody ever ran into that problem? Amen or oh me? We're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down. You're making me dizzy. How many people like that inconsistency of a friend or a person that you're around all the time that you never know? You just never know. Is this an up day or is this a down day? They can be around God and they can be shining, and then all of a sudden, that's the most miserable person I've ever been around in my life. They're bringing me down. Today, I want to speak to you about something that's actually a follow-up from last week. I was seeing these things, and God leads you in one place or another place. And it's not just about coming in here and opening the Word of God and seeing Scripture. Okay, we're going to be reading out of Exodus, and we're going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians. It's not about that. It's about being able to apply it to our lives. If we leave here and we say, well, he told us some things about Exodus chapter 33, and he told us some things about 2 Corinthians chapter 3 today. But unless you can apply it to your life, all you've done is gain knowledge. You haven't applied that knowledge. You can learn how to play football, but if you never play, what is the knowledge done? You can learn how to do math, but if you never do it, what is it done? So today, I want us to be able to apply the Scriptures. And in saying that, I go back and I think about what we talked about last week. Psalms 119, I know that, and you don't need to turn there because that's not where we're going to be, but Psalms 119, I know the psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. We learned about God's law being God's instructions, his direction, his fellowship, the things that he wants us to know. And the psalmist said, open my eyes. In other words, he said, show me yourself. Show me what it is about you that can help me. He had this desire. But do you realize that when God shows himself to you, you shine. When he shows himself to you, others can tell that you've met with him. They can see in your life the reflection of God on you. Do you realize that? Now, as I say, this is a sermon of application, but of course, as I've told you before, and it wasn't just something that I thought sounded catchy, I actually believe it. I wonder sometimes the path that God gave me to hear, and I look at myself and I think sometimes, God, I'm the worst one in the whole church and you're letting me preach. Well, why is that? Well, because I guess he lets you be able to see that you need to preach to yourself, and if you can preach to yourself, surely it's going to hit somebody else. So I'll never stand to preach over you as the pastor that is here to be able to discern the word and give you that. I preach to you as a fellow Christian or as someone who has met with God and is shining. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
But also meet with you each week in the body, the members here as your pastor, as your shepherd. And so I see when you're shining and I see when you're not shining. And I see a lot of up and down. And I know in my own life how easy it is to have that up and down, up and down. We can come in here and we can be on fire for God, and we can leave and we can say, hey, we're at a good place with God. And then in a week or two, when the devil challenges us, we're at the bottom again. Wouldn't you like to do something about that?
Amen.
This up and down inconsistency, this Christian moodiness, this shine, this glory of God that comes on us, but then it fades away. It's so inconsistent that if I were watching someone with that kind of shine, I don't think I would want to be part of it. And then what would my light really be doing? So I want you to understand that God gives us a picture in his word today, and I want to show you that picture. He revealed some things to me that I thought were phenomenal just in reading his word, and I want to pass it along. So I want you to first of all, if you have your Bible, we're going to need the Bible because it's not going to be what I'm going to tell you. I want to be able to show you out of the Bible. If you have your Bible, stand up and raise your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? All right, you may be seated. Now I want you to turn to two places. Exodus chapter 33 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One is Old Testament, one is New Testament. Exodus 33, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When you find your place, say, I have it. Last week we learned about the importance of God showing himself to us and our desire for God to show himself to us, our desire for his fellowship, his instructions, his directions. And we learned that we need to ask him, first of all, to open our eyes. We have to show our intent to God. If you come into this place today and you say, Lord, bless me if you can. If you come into this place today and you think it's my duty to worship, so I'm going to show up today, it's Sunday, so we have to go to church. You know, a lot of times I even hear parents say, well, that's Sunday, we've got to go to church. Not we get to go to church, but we've got to go to church. Are both true? Well, yes. But you need to go ahead and say, we have to go to church if we want to meet with God and be blessed and hear God. Amen. You say, well, I can be blessed and hear God outside of church. Listen, I've tried that too. I would be that one that would say, hey, listen, I'll have my time with God. I can also take you back during those years of thinking and tell you how I was up and down and up and down. He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because it's important when we come in here, your spirit, my spirit needs to come in here into one spirit, and then that way we know we have a preponderance, yes, a preponderance of the Holy Spirit. It floods this place, right?
Amen.
So we come together and we meet with him so that we can know that, hey, we've been recharged. But if we stay too long away from that, or too long away from the Word, or too long away from prayer, we're going to see that we're going to go through this up and down, up and down. Last week, we heard that the psalmist did the first step in saying, God, open my eyes, show me, show me. So there has to be that desire for you to say, God, I want you to show me yourself. I want you to meet with me. I want you to speak with me. Not just, God, I've got these 16 things on my prayer list I need you to handle. So in saying that, I want to take you to somebody that met with God and shined. Now, who would that be? You Old Testament, people that know the Old Testament. Who met with God and shined?
Moses.
He did. And we know that story that Moses went up on the mount and he met with God and his face shined. And we're going to learn that story today. But you say, I know that story already, so I'm going to tune on out. Don't tune out, because there's something in that story that I don't think I ever saw before. But it made the whole difference in my story. It wasn't just about his shining. I accept that. His face shined. But I want to show you today the difference in having your face shine and keeping your face shining. That Christian moodiness, that believer's moodiness that we struggle with. And if you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you're listening. Maybe you're riding down the road and you're listening to the radio, or sitting at home and whoever's listening to this sermon, or maybe you've just tuned in online and you're looking at this. Think about how God's going to address this to you. There's two groups of people. Those that know beyond a shadow of a doubt they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those that have not. Those that have are not any better than those that have not. They're just better off. So understand that you're going to find your place in one of those positions today. And you say, well, if this is a message to just Christians, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. No, this is a message about how to come to God, how to stay with God. In Exodus 33, we realize that Moses was receiving instructions from God, but it didn't start in Exodus 33. I'm going to give you a little history here, and I'm going to try not to labor on this too long, but I do need to set the scene for you, because in order for us to understand how to keep shining, not just shine, but how to keep shining, we're going to need to read the whole thing. I want you to turn to the person beside of you, and I want you to tell them to keep shining. Oh, see if you can whisper it any more quietly. See if you can do it any more quiet. Oh, we're in church. We can't even. See if you can say it any more quietly. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. Turn to the person beside of you. Tell them to turn that frown upside down and tell them to keep shining.
Keep shining.
Now, do you understand that the person that you just told had so many different things that happened to them, each person individually? How many people had challenges in the last 24 hours that discouraged you or distracted you or sort of wiped the shine off your apple, as my grandmom used to say? It was one of those things that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, right? Anybody in here? Or has life just been a bowl of peaches for you? No. We have disappointments. Things don't go the way. So how do you keep shining? Let's see. I want you to go back with me. Don't turn back unless you just want to turn back quickly. I want you to stay in Exodus 33. You can make these notes. I want to take you back to how this started. Well, of course, we know that God led Moses to lead the children of Israel out of captivity in Egypt, right? They were in bondage. They were in slavery. And so he led them out, and about 3 months after they were out of captivity, they crossed the Red Sea. We'd been able to see God provide for them. He gave them a cloud by day so they wouldn't get hot. They gave them a light by night so they could lead the way. They'd seen Pharaoh's army just swallowed up in the Red Sea. They'd seen God's hand. And about 3 months into it, God called Moses up on the mountain. He said, "Moses, we need to have a meeting. I need to be able to give you some instructions to be able to give to the people. These are the things that you're going to live by." What we call that is the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, right? These are how I want you to maintain fellowship with me. And he went over all these kinds of things and rules and stipulations and things that you need to do. This is how I want things to be done. Now you say, that's Old Testament law. They don't matter. No, they were God's mind. They matter. God was saying, I want something done that way. You better remember, that's how God wanted it done. Is it important? Yes, it's important because God shared his mind. He said, this is what I want. So he took Moses up on this mountain, and we begin to see this in Exodus 19. He called Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai to give him these instructions so that he could give them to the children of Israel, so the children of Israel could be obedient to him and fellowship with him. You see, back then, God was going to institute a plan of worship, which meant if you do those things, then you can have fellowship with me. By your obedience, you can come to me. We know in chapter 20, one of those things he gave them were what? The Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments was just part of the law of Moses. They were a part. They engraved that on the tables of stone, and we know that because we've looked at so many things. But he told them a lot more than just the Ten Commandments. He summed it all up in the Ten Commandments, but he gave them the complete law. And you can look in the book of Leviticus, you can look in this Exodus 19 all the way through 33, and you'll be able to see the different things that he told them they needed to do. For example, if you look in chapter 21, you'll see that he began to tell them how to treat one another. This is how you treat one another if you love me. This is how you govern one another, because this is the way I would say govern. This is how you punish somebody if they do wrong. This is how you reward somebody. This is the way you treat your fellow man. In chapter 22, he said, this is how you take care of your property, and this is how you respect the other person's property. In chapter 23, he taught them how to observe the annual feast of worship. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to come to me at this certain time of the year, and I want you to put these things in place. And so God had all these details he wanted people to carry out to come to him and worship him, right? This was part of the law. In chapter 24, Moses goes up a little bit higher on the mountain so that he can meet with God, so that God can speak clearly to him, so he can go back and tell the others. So you see Moses go a little bit higher, and you see this cloud of God's glory cover the mountain. Do you think they knew something was going on? Yeah. So there were paranormal, extraordinary things that were going on. In chapter 25, we see that he gave Moses instructions on how to make offerings to God and also how to build a place of worship. He gave him instructions on how to build this place called the tent of the meeting or the tabernacle, which, you know, they were nomadic. They were traveling, so they couldn't just build a building. So he told them how to build this temporary temple that would go with them. They would take it down. They would set it up. And he said, hey, this is how the outside's got to be. This is how the inside's got to be. And it goes into more detail in some other places in the Bible. And it tells, this is the place you'll meet with me. This is the way to sacrifice. And when you bring your sacrifice into here, I will see that that's a sacrifice you've given me. And I will forgive your sins until the next time that you come in here and you go through the same ritual so that we can have fellowship, the Old Testament law. He gave them instructions on the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, which would be inside of this tent of the meeting. So if you read through these chapters, you'll see that he was exact on how he wanted things. He gave them instructions on exactly how to build this tabernacle in chapter 26 and in chapter 27 about the altar that was inside of the tabernacle that they were going to burn offerings on. And then in chapter 29, 28 and 29, he gave instructions to the priest. This is how you're going to dress. This is what I want you to wear. This is how I want you to be able to sanctify yourself. And then this is the duties I want you to be able to perform. So you had to go through all these things just to worship God, right? To be in fellowship with him. In chapter 30, he gave instruction on the altar of incense. Remember we talked about this Wednesday night? That altar of incense, what a beautiful thing. The fire kept burning, but twice a day, in the morning and the evening. And Aaron would go in and he would light that incense. It represented the prayers that continually went up to God. In chapter 31, he gave instructions on the Sabbath. How important it was for them to set aside a time to remove the distractions in their life so that they could focus on him. That's what the Sabbath is about. I have people say all the time, well, hey, I know I'm doing this, but I'm resting. That's not at all what he's meaning about the rest. He's saying rest from your mind. Rest from the things that are occupying your interest. Focus on him. We justify a lot of things, but he's saying there needs to be a time. If you're going to stay healthy with me, if you're going to stay in fellowship with me, there needs to be a time when you block everything out. I understand you have to work for a living. This is what he's telling them. I understand you have to be a dad and you have to be a mom, and I understand that you've got to run your son to camel polo practice. They didn't have soccer, so I just pulled something out. I understand that. But in the midst of it, stop. Focus on me, and it'll do you good. So, what are you preaching? Well, I'm not preaching yet. I'm just quoting what he said you need to do. So he's saying that's good for us. He finishes chapter 31 because something's going on down in the camp. He says, Moses, you better get back down there. So Moses heads back down the mountain with two tablets of stone that the finger of God had written these things in. He heads back down the mountain as they get close back down to where the people are. Joshua, who had camped out halfway down the mountain, Joshua said, Moses, I hear something. It doesn't sound like war. And it doesn't sound like praise. It sounds like a party. Rivalry. It's terrible. What is that sound? What's going on? We have to get down there. And as soon as they were able to see, that something bad had happened. Those people that knew the presence of God was there, well, they went without Moses for 40 days. And they became impatient. And they began to grumble and complain, and they needed something to believe in. And they came to Aaron, and Aaron said, which Aaron messed up because Aaron went along with it. Let me just tell you the plan. What they decided to do was to cut off all their earrings. You say, people back there wore earrings? Hey, yeah, let me give you a little update on that. They wore earrings because they were slaves. That's what signified a slave. So if you saw a man that had a big earring, it represented the master. That was a sign of slavery. So what they did is it made sense to them. They cut the earring off saying, we're not in slavery anymore. Let's celebrate. So almost it sounds like a biblical, good, godly thing, right? But then they melted them down. And if you listen and read God's word a little bit further, when Moses came to Aaron and said, Aaron, what did you do? Aaron's explanation was, well, they cut their earrings off and we thrown them in there, we melted them, and it came out a calf. It just came out and looked like a calf. That's comical, isn't it? So they worshiped this golden calf. And they were dancing and singing and giving all glory to this God that represented their deliverance, even though that God wasn't the God that kept delivering them. And so Moses got back to camp and he was disgusted. He was so disgusted that on the way to camp, when he saw it, what'd he do with those tables of stone, those Ten Commandments? He threw them down and they broke. He had just been with God. He'd just been there, and he came back down, and all of a sudden, it's like life had went to pieces, and so he threw him down. He was disgusted. He got down there, and he said, listen, we're choosing sides. Anybody that's with God, come over here with me. Anybody that's not, stay over there. And listen, they were so busy just in their own world, doing whatever felt good and worshiping these other gods that there was a group that came to him. They're called the Levites, and he said, hey, listen, I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your cousin, your mother, your father, who it is. If they're against God and they won't stop praising this other god, then here's your sword. Put them by your side. Go out and destroy them. He said, that's harsh. God was in the middle of giving them an act of love. And they continued to look for something besides God. And what was happening is it was going to stop the rest of the whole million man person that was there, people that were there, from coming to God. And so all of a sudden, Moses got back and he met with this adversity. And after he got through, Moses went into his tent. And when he went into his tent and he prayed, it says the cloud, the glory of God, came down. So they could tell, this man is talking to God. Are you in Exodus 33? Verses 7 through 13 of Exodus 33. It says that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the tent afar off from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. This is that temple he told him to build. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, if you wanted to meet with the Lord, if you're seeking the Lord, went out into the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone to the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The Lord did what? He talked with Moses. Now, something amazing. In this talk, Moses, who had had a little taste of what it's like to talk to God, he had a request. We see that request, first of all, in verse 13. Because Moses asks something here. I want you to look in chapter 33, verse 13. It says, now therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Well, that's what we talked about last week, right? Show me yourself. Show me what you want me to do. How many of us continue to go through life and not knowing what to do, but we refuse to ask God sincerely, hey, God, you show me. I can tell you that I've prayed for years that God would just make the way that I have work. I spent my time showing God my way and asking Him to grant it instead of Him, show me your way. Any other stubborn people in here that? Okay. He says, show me thy way. God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And something amazing when you get down to verse 18 and chapter 33, Moses said, I beseech thee, that means I beg you, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Amen. Well, listen, I was reading, I stopped the other day when I was reading it, and I pulled up that third day song, Show Me Your Glory, and just praised the Lord. What did he want? He wanted God to show himself to him, show him his glory. What do you mean, show me your glory? Well, we say glory because we think it's such a church word. Do we really know what God's glory is? Well, remember, this is no different than the psalmist said, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of thy law. When he says, show me thy glory, he was asking God to reveal himself to him. Show me your power, God. Show me my direction. Show me your instructions. Show me your provision. Show me your glory. Moses didn't just want a blessing. Get this, and I think this is a big deal. So many times we go to God and we say, God, hey, show me this. Show me your power by granting me this. Show me this. Show me that, right? And what we're doing is we're wanting God to show us the blessing, but we're not interested in seeing the blesser. You see, if you don't want to have communication and fellowship with the blesser, you're not going to see the blessings. But we want to skip the blesser and get to the blessings. He's saying, show me you, God. I want to see you so that when I get to that point of knowing I need this blessing, I'll know that you can provide it. You know, that's the whole thing about fellowship and relationship with God. When you get to the point where you have a relationship with God, if your relationship is strong enough to where you can see the blesser, then when you need the blessing, there's a peace that says, I know the blesser. It's good stuff. It's good stuff because I did it wrong so many years, right? And in verse 19 through 23, God told Moses, I'll show you my glory. I'm going to have you go to a certain place and I'll show myself to you. But first, I've got something you need to do. Remember when you threw down those tablets that I wrote out? You said, well, Moses had a good reason to throw down those tablets. You'll never find where Moses is justified for breaking the tablets of stone. He didn't have a reason to throw down and break them. Moses got angry. Why? Because things didn't work out the way he wanted them to, and he broke those things. First of all, you know, God wrote those first ones, and there's a whole other sermon. I can't wait to preach sometime when he leads it. But difference between the first set of tablets and the second set, not with content, but how he had them to go about. But just to give you a little glimpse of that, Moses had to go hew out his own stones for the second one, right? Chip by chip and piece by piece. Every time he's thinking, man, I had two good tablets. Piece it. Here I am hewing out two out of stone. How many of you have taken the hard road? Hard heads take the hard road, right? Hew out two more tablets of stone like the ones that you broke and come back up to the mountain to meet with me. So in Exodus 33, verse 18 through 23, we hear about this meeting, and this is what I want you to see. It's beautiful. Verse 18, he tells you what he's going to do. He said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. And verse 19, he said, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. He's saying, hey, you're going to know who I am. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And he said, thou canst see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory, look at that, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Something amazing about this that I don't think I ever saw before. I want to give you this little jewel right here. I love what he says, and I never saw it before. This one little statement. The Lord said, behold. You know what he's saying? Okay, I'm going to show you something. Behold, there's a place by me. Stop right there. There's a place by me. Where did Moses have to go? It wasn't me riding down the road saying, God, if you can come into my life and show up right here. God said, if you want to see my glory, come where? Come to this place by me. Moses had to go back up. He had to get to a place where he could see God. He could hear God. There's a place by me. And I want you to come back. After you go do your due diligence, hew these stones, then come to this place by me. And I want you to go over to that cleft in the rock. And I'm going to pass by with my glory, my ability that created the rock you're hiding in and you. I'm going to pass by the one that created light and darkness, and just my ability to do all things, the God that I am, my glory is going to pass by you. My power, my provision, my fellowship, everything that I have is going to pass by you, but you can't look at my face or your head will explode. I didn't make you to view me. I know how I made you, so I didn't make you to view me. It's like us saying, okay, here's this Kia. Don't take offense if you have a Kia. And I want you to go out and push the gas pedal as hard as you can and run it as hard as you can. It ain't made to do that, is it? God didn't make us to see his face. We can't handle it, right? He said, hide over here and I'm going to pass by. And just my glory, that's all you can handle. And so what happened? Well, I got to tell you the rest of the story. As he told him to pass by, chapter 34, the Lord said, hey, you've got these tables of stone. You've come here, and when we get down to verse 4, it says he hewed those tables of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. So the Lord did come to that place and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord showed him who he was. And the Lord passed by before him, this is chapter 34, verse 6, and proclaimed the Lord, it says it twice, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression of sin. So God revealed all his power, not just to provide and how merciful and grace, full of grace he was. He revealed, hey, I've got power to give all things. Verse 8 says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And then we get a glimpse of exactly what happened when we get to chapter 34. I need you to read this because this was beautiful to me. It answered a lot of questions for me, and it set me back on the right path because I began to, again, as far as inspiration for this sermon on vacation, I discovered that I needed to have some time where I could hear God. Some times where I could see God. Even when I thought I was supposed to be working for God. Sometimes where I just isolated myself and went to the mountain to listen to him. You say, are you trying to warm us up for a bunch of vacations coming up this year? No, if I just meet with God when I go on vacation, this whole church is in trouble. We need to find a place to meet with God on a daily basis. Okay? So before you think you know where I'm going with this, I'm not. But God revealed to me this needs to happen. But the next thing was, I began to think about, I've been there before on top of the mountain. I've been shining. And I walked into that camp. And God already given me this message, and I saw it come to fruition because I saw those children and those youth who took those days and went to the mountain, the literal mountain. And they didn't have any phone service. They didn't have any distractions. Where they tell me that youth won't even be into that. When I walked into that worship service, there were youth and there were children that were praising God. No inhibitions. Praising the Lord. Singing those songs. Is that right, youth? And nobody was ashamed. And when I pulled up at that camp, I could see something. I could see them shining. And then I think back how many people have said before, well, yeah, they've just been to camp. But you can't see it on them in December. Why? It seems to fade away. So I got to think and look at your life, Mike. Yeah, you've shined before. How do you keep from shining and fading away and shining and fading away? This moodiness that happens as a Christian. Nobody wants to be a part of that. So I found this in here and I thought, this is beautiful. I read verses 29 through 35 and I want you to read this with me. You see, Moses' face was shining because God showed himself to Moses. And I want you to see just the little details of this scripture. And I'm convinced that this whole thing of Moses' face literally shining had to be for me and you in today. Just like it was for the church at Corinth when Paul taught it. It's for me and you. We need to see this. So look at verses 29 through 35. It says, it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hands. He came down from the mountain. This is the second time. With the new tablets, it says, Moses wist not, that means he did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. Amen. You say, does that literally mean that Moses' face was shining? Yes, not because he had the latest new skincare product, right? What had Moses done? He saw God's glory. He met with God. He went to the place to see God. He said, show me yourself. God said, come here. Hey, come near me. He went there. God spoke to him, so he shined. Just a little foreshadowing here. That's what we have to do, right? So he's shining. He didn't know he was shining. So here's Moses coming down off the mountain. Got my two tablets of stone. Coming down, and all of a sudden, he expects a warm reception. He's been meeting with God, and all of a sudden, they see him, and they're just like, you know that look? He didn't know his face was shining, and they're looking at him saying, what happened to him? We've never seen anybody, so listen to the story. It says, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. They were afraid to come near him, and Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. So Moses had to tell them, hey, listen, nothing's wrong. What are you guys scared of? Come here, come here. Finally, apprehensively, they came over, and they're like, hey, Hey, how'd it go? But then they began to see what the shine was about. Because Moses was smiling. Moses was high-stepping. Moses was happy. Moses had just spent time with God. Moses had the instructions of God, the direction of God, and Moses was on fire for God. He was shining. Amen. So as they talked to him, look what happens. It says, afterwards, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them the commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Let me explain that in the translation. When Moses was finished speaking with all of them, this is important because we think we know all about this shining thing. This is the story. Now listen, when he was through speaking to them, he put a veil on his face. Now, how many of us just assumed that his face was shining, and so when he went to speak to them, he put a veil on his face? That's not what it says. After he was done speaking, he put a veil on his face. Now, read on. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And at that time he came out, he spake unto the children of Israel that which he commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak to him. Can I explain this to you? Man, this is good. Good. It helped me out so much. Listen, I'd heard everything that's been preached about this, and this is what it needs to be. Listen to this. It's simple. Moses' face shined when he came off the mountain, right? You ever met with God and you had that shine? His face was shining because he stood in the presence of God. Moses came back down. They were afraid of him at first, and that's what will happen to you. You shine for God, there's going to be some people you scare off. Hold on. If you shine for God, there should be some people you scare off. If you're not scaring off anybody, you're not shining the way you need to. You don't think I know? Oh, he's got it. He's off the deep end. Holy roller. You know what they preach down there? You know him, and he's on. Praise God, because I know what they used to say. Hey, come on. We're no different than you are, right? And I'm no better. Like I said, just better off. You got to get this. Moses met with God. His face, what? Shone. It depends on what English, you know. But his face, we're going to say for the purposes, face had a shine. He came down to talk to the people. They were afraid. It didn't bother him. He had been with God, so he said, I'm going to shine while I'm talking with you. As soon as he got through talking, he covered his face back up. He went in, lived his life until he went back in to meet with God. And when he went back in to meet with God, he uncovered the veil, took the veil back off, met with God. And when he met with God, his face would shine. And so he'd go back out, and he said, God said, do this, and go do this, and I'm shining, and this is what God says. And then afterwards, he'd put the veil back on. And it says, listen to this, it's important, this makes sense. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, verse 35, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. And in verse 34, it says, when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out, he spake to the children of Israel, which he had commanded. So Moses' face would shine. He would put the veil on after he got through speaking until he met with God. As soon as it would shine, it was almost like he was just saying, hey, I'm only going to show you the good parts, right? No. There's a purpose for this, and we can understand how we're supposed to shine for God in being able to understand this. But you can only do it by turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, so you have to turn there. I want to wrap everything up by giving you God's explanation here, because it's going to be applicable for you and for me. You see, Paul understood this, and Paul's going to explain it to us. I'm just going to recite Paul, and I'll lay the groundwork briefly. Do you realize in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's telling this church at Corinth, these believers, that you're supposed to be ministers of this new covenant that you've accepted with God. You're supposed to go out and tell people. How many people have accepted the salvation that God offers through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize that you're supposed to go out and tell others? Brian. So he was talking about the ministry of the new covenant. Now explaining this, The old covenant was the covenant of the law. That's the Mosaic law. That's the law we read about. Moses went up on the mountain and God revealed to them the law, the letter of the law. So here's what you needed to do. You needed to make sure that you were in line with all of these things if you wanted to have fellowship with God, because that's what gave you fellowship with God. You had to be obedient to every little thing. How many people do you think were successful at that? No one. How many of you could be successful at that? None of us. So he's saying, hey, you need to be ministers of the new covenant. The old covenant got man to God by their obedience to come to worship, and then they would go without that time, and there was a structure. Remember, the priest had to even go about a certain way, and they had to come to the temple, and the sacrifice had to be this way, and the temple had to be a certain way, and you came to God by this structure and this obedience to God, and there was a person that went to God on your behalf, and he says, I want you to minister about the new covenant. Well, the new covenant, well, that happened when Jesus Christ came. Can I talk to you a minute about the new covenant? The covenant is a promise. So God made a promise to man in the Old Testament, the old promise or the old covenant, that said, I will be with you and have fellowship with you if you abide by these laws and these rules. That's the way you get to me. That's the way you show me your love. That's the way you have fellowship with me. The new covenant, God said, hey, I'm going to show you my love, because all these sacrifices that you're making to come with to me, I'm going to provide the sacrifice. I'm going to give my own son. He's the perfect lamb. He never sinned. He is my son. He's all God, but he came through Mary, and he's all man. That's why he's called the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's the only reason that it works, because this man lived a sinless life, and this man willingly died for your sins and my sins so that we could say, God, I'm a sinner. I have no way of getting rid of my sin, because my sin stands between me and you. Please, use that sacrifice of Jesus, that blood he shed, to cover my sins. I believe he died for me. I believe he was buried and rose again. I want Jesus as my Savior. Save my soul. I'm a sinner. And at that point in time, you have accepted the new covenant, because God's promise says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's his promise. Amen. That's the new covenant. He said you need to go out and minister this covenant. Not the old covenant, but the new covenant. You say, the old covenant doesn't matter anymore. Hold on a second. The old covenant was still the mind of God. Don't be dismissing the Old Testament. Don't be dismissing the mind of God, because it was showing the obedience that man needed to have to God. But the New Testament, as the Bible tells us in Hebrews, it did away with the old. The way to come to God. You come to God through Jesus Christ and through him alone. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God except through me. All right, now that we know about the old covenant and the new covenant, Paul tells these Corinthian believers that we're supposed to share the new covenant with others. When we get to verses 14 through 17 in chapter 2, he tells these believers they're supposed to speak for him. When we get to chapter 3, verse 1 and 5, he basically tells us, hey, you know what you are? You're a letter of recommendation that God has sent to the world. You mean, think about that. Go back and read verses 1 through 5 sometime in your reading. And you know what he says? He says, you know, if people were to read you, they should be able to see what God is saying. If they could read your life. They didn't even have Facebook posts back then. That's a scary thought. Let me just turn it around there. If people were to read your Facebook posts, would they know that they're reading God? That's not even a rabbit I'm going to chase this morning. I'm just saying. He said, we're letters to God. We're letters of God. But then it changes in verse 6. Paul says, again, we're ministers of the new covenant. But then he takes a turn. He says, we're ministers of the new covenant, not the letter. The letter speaking about that Old Testament law. He goes on to say, not the letter of the law, but through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you're not a minister of that old covenant anymore. You're a minister of the new covenant. Now, if you want to do some things that you think I would like that are part of the old covenant, well, we can read other places in the New Testament. If somebody wants to observe some things of the law, as long as they can observe them and they don't think it's their way of salvation, and they think they can bring that close to God, fine by me. Fine by me. But if they say that's the way they get their salvation, not fine by me. It's not truth. So, in saying that, the letter of the law, he said, and listen, he speaks pretty bad about it, because he says, hey, there's people that get caught up in the letter of the law. It's a ministration of death. What does he mean? He means that that law that nobody could obey, well, that doomed us all to eternal hell. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, that gave us an opportunity of eternal life. Nobody could get to God and stay with God. Now remember, we're talking about shining and stay shining. Nobody could get to God and stay shining through the Old Testament law. But I want you to see that you can keep shining. Keep shining. Remember, that's what you told the person. You can keep shining if you come through the new covenant. You say, well, you're not living my life. True. I want you to understand when he gets to verses 7 through 11, Paul refers back to what we learned earlier, and this is why it was so important for us to learn the history of what happened there. He calls the Old Testament law of Moses, which was written and engraved on those stone tablets, a ministration of death. Because if it were up to man to be saved by keeping the complete law of Moses, then all of us are going to receive eternal death. He said that in the event of Moses meeting with God and receiving the Old Testament law, if that event was so glorious that Moses' face shined with the glory of God, and that glory was to be done away with, verse 7, listen to this statement. How much more glorious is the glory that comes from the Holy Spirit when someone accepts the Lord Jesus Christ? So let me explain something to you. When you look at Exodus 34 and you read these verses, and we're able to see that God's making a point here. And 33, and go back and read 32 and 31, and we see, hey, God keeps telling all these details, but he gives us these details about Moses' face shining, and we read this here in 2 Corinthians 3, which is where I told you to turn. Listen to what he says. If the ministration of death written and engraved on the stones was so glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, they couldn't even look on the glory of his face, which glory was to be done away with. That was not a shine that was going to stay. Do you pick that up? That glory was to be done away with, and the Old Testament law was to be done away with. It's meaning two things. Look at verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Can I translate that to you? If Moses met with God and represented the Old Testament law, which meant that you had to come to God this way, and Moses shined, how much more should you shine if you meet with God and realize he gave you grace that's not going to run out? Your eternal home is going to be in heaven with God. You have fellowship with him now. Moses didn't even have that. They had to go through the law. Now you have the covenant of grace. If Moses shined, you should be shining even more. That's what he's saying. That's a big deal, isn't it? You say, well, Moses met with God. Well, look at what he said. You have the ministration through the Spirit. Moses had to hew these tablets out, go all the way up on that mountain, go through this thing, get all these decrees, go through all this to meet with God. Guess what I have to do? Why? Because I have fellowship through the Spirit of God. Guess what else? I can be going or walking somewhere. If I'm open to God, that Spirit can speak to me whether I'm on the mountain or whether I'm not on the mountain. But if I keep myself so preoccupied with life that I don't give God a place in my life to speak to me, if I don't go to the place I need to have him speak to me, I know he's going to speak to me here. I know he's going to speak to me in the Word. I know he's going to speak to me in prayer. If I don't go there, how can I expect for him to speak, and how can I expect to shine? In verses 12 through 18, it's something pretty awesome. Paul's explanation explains to us this importance of the scripture that God gave us in Exodus. We learned earlier, verses 12 through 18, he says, seeing then that we have such hope, if you've got this kind of shine, then the Bible says, well, we need to have plainness of speech. You know what that is? Confidence and boldness to go out and be able to declare the Lord. Did Moses, when he came down, he was shining, they were afraid of him. He said, come here, I got to tell you what happened. And we should have even more of a glorious because the Spirit's leading us. And then we get to verse 13, we finally get our question answered. How many people are asking the question, why did he keep taking his veil off and putting it on? Why did he keep taking it off and putting it on? And it opened up just the windows of my mind, and I was able to see what I needed to do. I hope it helps you. I want you to read verse 13 with me. In closing, this should wrap things up for us. I want you to see 13 through 18. It says, and not as Moses, Seeing that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech, not as Moses. So is it telling us to follow Moses' example? No, not as Moses. What did Moses keep doing? Taking it off. What else? Putting it on. Taking it off, putting it on. Taking it off, putting it on. It sounds like spiritual moodiness to me, doesn't it, you? What was Moses taking off? Taking the veil off, can't see the shine. Or you can see the shine. Put it on, you can't see it. Take it off, you can't see it. Put it on, you can't see it. That ever happen to you? Is it happening to you? It's happened to me. Get this, because it's the meat. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, that means the Old Testament law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, capital S. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I need to sum some things up here so that it all can fall into place. You see, I was able to see that Moses was not my example of how I needed to treat the shine of God. Not as Moses, remember? I'm not supposed to be taking it off, putting it on, taking it off, putting it on. You see, we might ask ourselves, why did Moses hide God's shine? Well, he had to. What do you mean? You know, Moses should have let people see. That would have drawn more people to him. Well, there's something you need to know about the shine that Moses had when he came off the mountain. That shine would fade away. So how do you know it would fade away? Because doesn't it tell you that when he would go back in, he would uncover his face and it would shine again? Doesn't mean it shined brighter and brighter. Moses didn't cover his face so people wouldn't see the shine. He covered his face so people wouldn't see it fade away. That's huge, man. Huge. Because if they see it fade away, then they're going to think, well, hey, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And then he goes on to say, hey, the problem that people can't see now, and Paul's got a great way of saying, the reason the Jews are not seeing it now is because they never saw anything but the shine of Moses, and Moses represented the Old Testament law, so they think, hey, just go by the Old Testament law and we'll see the shine, because every time they saw him come out, it shined. Does that make sense? What we see is the new covenant, not as Moses. We're given the ministration of the Spirit, where God gives us a Spirit that will shine, and all we have to do to maintain it is to keep meeting with him. And Moses is our example. You say, I'm sure Moses, man of God, shined. Listen, let me take you to reality a little bit, can I? When Moses got through meeting with him and he was all shined up and he walked back to his tent and all of a sudden the neighbor's dog had torn up everything outside, I'm sure his mind went to there and he began to think something about his neighbor and sin come in between him and God, and all of a sudden his shine started to dissipate. And he got in the tent and he realized, where's that thing I left? Well, somebody's ran off with that thing and they've taken it out here and they've left it out here. And all of a sudden, he goes in and he says something wrong in a wrong way to Miss Moses and carries the little Moses around. And all of a sudden, man, if you were to see his face, you'd lose his shine. Why? Because Moses had to live. He had to live like I had to live. Can I tell you something? There's times, crazy times, I lose my shine. I'm a child of God. I know I can be in the Word. I was up here yesterday, and I'm telling you, for 7 hours, and the sermon was done. For 7 hours, I went back over it and was in God's Word and was on fire for God and just praising God and just in His Word and just magical, right? But can I tell you what tried to happen to me beforehand? The night before, I was eager to do it, and I was thinking, God, I can't wait, and I finished my prayers. And after I finished my prayers, I thought about, I'm going to meet with my brothers in the morning. We're going to prayer meeting. When we go to prayer meeting, we're going to go to prayer meeting, and then we're going to go eat. And I was as happy about the eating part. Listen, here's what I'm going to order. And it was going to be an event. I knew what kind of omelet I was going to order. I knew what I was going to order with it. I wanted some tomatoes on the side, and I wanted some toast, and I was going to make me the little triangle sandwiches that taste so good, especially when you can put a tomato in just the right amount of mayonnaise, and I had everything. When she came to me, and my brothers would bear witness, I knew exactly what I was going to order. You didn't have to ask me. I'd like to have this and this and this and this, because the event in my mind was going to be magical. And do you realize that I saw my food come, and everything was exactly like it was supposed to be, and the only thing I was missing was toast. And I waited, and I waited, and I touched my omelet to see how cold it was getting, and I waited, and I waited, and I thought, this is not going to happen. And in my mind, even though nobody else could see it, hopefully, my shine went away over toast. Then when it came, it was done. They should have brought it to me when it was ready the first time, right? Something that little. And then throughout the day, I went back and I realized what happened, and I went back and I had my time with God. You say, well, we don't want to hear about this. Hey, this is life application, okay? So I go, and let me tell you, I go and I think, hey, I'm back on fire for God. Listen, I'm going to go have dinner with my dad. So we went over there, and listen, I could see his shine. He was excited because we had a place that we were going to eat, and boy, he'd really built this place up to me. He said, hey, this is the place. We found a place. And I love to go and eat with him, and I like to see he still eats good, and he had it all psyched up. And listen, everything worked out great. I said, we're going to meet you here, and don't you know, we pulled on the road at the same time, and he followed me, and I was thinking in my mind, this is going to be good. We're going to pull in at the same time. We pulled in, and the sign said, closed this week. Right? Closed this week. Ask my family if you couldn't see the disgust that was on his face. And on mine. So we decide we're going to go somewhere else. And the one thing about the place that we're going to go to is they have the best cherry pie in the world. And I know he loves it. And so even when he was ordering, he said, make sure they set aside a piece of cherry pie. I don't want to get to it and then run out. So the woman said, no problem. And she walked back in all sad face. You're not going to like what I got to tell you. I watched his shine just go. I'm telling you about simple things, right? And I'm trying to encourage and say, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Until I get home. And when I get home, all I was thinking is, it's later than the time I need to go to bed. I need to do this. I need to get in bed. I need to do this. I need to go right in here. I need to get this because everything's got to be right for tomorrow and this and that kind of thing. And I realized that the light bulb exploded in the carport there above the car, and there was thousands of pieces of glass everywhere. And the only way to do was pick it out, and it was going to take a lot of time, and it was sort of tense because me and Angie and Ben were doing it together, and somebody had to hold the light. Remember, the light was out. And can I tell you something? I lost my shine. And you know when I realized it? When I walked back in and I tried to pray for the service today, and I wasn't in any position to pray. Look what I'd been. How is it so easy that it can go up and down and up and down? You say, can I tell you why it's so easy? Because we got to live. We got to live in a perfect world, and we're going to continue to do that. But do you realize that if I can continually stay in that fellowship with God, if I can continually put myself in a place that says, okay, nobody, This is not going to change the world. This is not going to devastate me. Why am I getting so upset? Why am I losing my shine? You say, well, hey, it doesn't make a good testimony to your family. It don't make a good testimony that somebody needs to see the light of Jesus Christ in you. What does he want us to do? Keep shining. And I look at us Christians, and we shine and then put the veil, and shine and put the veil. If you've received the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be able to shine. Are you going to be disappointed? Yes. That's when you're going to shine and people are going to notice the most. Why in the world are they still shining? Listen, when I went to camp this past week and I walked into their worship service, I saw these camp leaders. And these girls were this typical, like, man, there's those Christian people. They're always bubbly. You know what they were? Not bubbly. They were shining. Amen. They definitely weren't paying them to do that. And then I saw the kids, and they were shining. No inhibitions. They were shining. Why? Because they went to a place to meet with God. And when you stay at a place where you're meeting with God, even though life happens, you can keep shining.
Amen.
But you're never going to shine the first time until you come and have that initial meeting and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of you are in that position. You've never accepted the Lord as your Savior. He calls out to you today and he says, listen, the old covenant was this, but I've made a new covenant with you. You can't get to me because of your sin, but if you confess that you're a sinner, you believe that I died for you and accept that, not believe that Jesus was a historical figure or believe in God, believe it for yourself and for your salvation and ask him to be your Savior. When you believe that, listen, I'll come into you and start shining through the Spirit. When things seem bad and you can't figure them out, I'll give you a calm and a resolve. You say, well, I don't have that. You're not spending enough time with God. You say, no, that's just the way I'm made. God made you. Either God's contradicting himself or he can make you shine. You choose. You're not such this permanent fixture in the world that God can't change you. Yes, he can make you shine. He does not put us out here to be so spiritually moody that we're hot and we're cold and we're hot and we're cold. He wants us to shine. Take the veil off. Look at yourself. Verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That's God's answer to you. You can do the same thing as Moses, but you're changed from glory to glory to where God's glory will shine on you. He says, hey, look, with open face. Open face means without the what? Beholding as in a glass. It's not talking about a glass you drink out of. A glass then means the mirror. Open face, take the veil off and look into the mirror, friend. You should see the glory of God in that mirror that comes to you, look at the end of that, through the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Now it's time for us to look at ourselves. If you see that you need to be that reflection of God, if he's shining on you but you're not shining the way you need to, do you realize that you can take that veil off this morning and meet with God just like Moses did, except he's going to minister to you through the Spirit. Come bow before a righteous and loving God. Amen. Tell him that you love him. He'll renew you.
Amen.
Spend time with him later on today, worshiping him another time, talking to him. Read his word. Pray to him. Talk to him, and you can keep your shine in the midst of all these other things. It doesn't mean the other things are not going to happen. It just means that you can shine in the midst of it. I'm not preaching you some Johnny Sunshine gospel of positive power, positive thinking. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. He means for you to bear witness. He tells you to be the light of the world because Jesus was the light of the world. He tells you to go out and shine. Do you want to keep shining? Come talk to him about it. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to stand right down here today. He loves you. He died for you. Don't leave here today without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt you've accepted that gift of salvation. He will shine in you today. Father God, I love you. I praise you, and I thank you for your precious words you've given us today. I pray, Lord, that you speak through your word to us, Lord. Pierce our hearts today. Let our minds comprehend what you're trying to tell us today, Lord. I pray, God, today that if there's one here that's never accepted you as their Savior, I pray, God, today that if there's one listening, Lord, by some means of radio or, Lord, maybe they're online, maybe, Lord, they've just tuned into a CD that somebody gave them, wherever they're at, you know who they are. Speak through this message today wherever that person that you're trying to speak to is, Lord. Speak to them and show them themselves, Lord. If they're lost, if they've never accepted your gift of salvation, Lord, convict their heart today to cry out to you. Lord, as they ask you to show yourself to them, Lord, I just pray that you save them. And I pray, God, for Christians that are listening. I pray, God, you show us ourselves today. As we look in that mirror today, Lord, we'll be able to see whether we're shining or putting the veil back on or shining and putting the veil back on, Lord. Thank you for the promises of your word. Let us see ourselves today. And as your children cry out to you this morning and ask you for help in this area, I pray, God, that you would make them shine. Lord, move in this place today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.